Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. We're doing Sanhedrin, the third parak. We are in the Gemara on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Moving on to a new topic in the Gemara today. We've covered so far the Mishnah, the Gemara's discussion about why going through the process of Zavla. We spent 2 weeks on that. We spent 2 weeks on the topic of Nogei Bedavar. And this week we're going to spend the topic of Tzorach Levare. So first, just by way of introduction and by way of background. The Mishnah brought in a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. This should sound familiar to you. We've done this already a number of times. Where the Chachamim, Rav Meir, and the Mishnah argue over three issues. The first issue they argue about is how to select the third judge. Okay, with that we've covered. Second issue is whether or not after my litigant, the other litigant, the... I was going to say co-litigant, but that's not accurate. My contra-litigant, the person on the other side was opposed to me. If he chooses a judge, can I disqualify his judge? So once again, that's a machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And once again, we cover that as well. The last issue in the Mishnah, however, which is really the most shocking, is whether or not I can disqualify his witnesses. Rav Meir says I can. Rav Meir says it's within my power, within my purview, to look at his witnesses and say, no, that's not who I want. They're not going to testify about me. I do not like them. To which the Chachamim said, you can't do that. You have no right, you have no ability to disqualify a witness. First of all, I mean, we've been discussing this the last couple of weeks, you yourself, you're the litigant, you're Nogei Bedavar, meaning obviously you cannot be objective about this issue. And furthermore, how can the courts operate? How can you have any kind of judicial system if we're having a scenario in which you, the other litigant, could just simply go ahead and reject his witnesses? It's a sheet of Rav Meir which is so difficult to understand. As I pointed out last couple of weeks, the Gemara spends a considerable amount of time understanding the sheet of Rav Meir, even though it's not the halacha falls like the Chachamim, but it is the sheet of Rav Meir.
I was thinking about that, you know, in our system, in our jury system, where the jury sits as, in essence,
the judges.
There is preemptory dismissal.
Correct. But we're talking now about the evidence. We're talking about submission of evidence. In other words, can you imagine our system where one litigant is submitting evidence and the other litigant says, no, that evidence is inadmissible? Okay. I mean, you could say it, but I'm saying... Okay, we're talking now about the evidence itself. Okay, this is the sheet of Rav Meir. So already in the Gemara we presented Reish Lakish's understanding of how that works. We went through Rabbi Lazar's understanding of how that works. And now we are continuing. In the Gemara, so let's get comfortable with the Gemara. The Gemara itself is on... we're going to start today with Kiyasar Avdimi Amar Rav Yochanan. We're in Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to be doing a little bit of Gemara today. Really, no, it's not a lot of Gemara. It's a little bit of Gemara, and most of what we're going to be doing today is discussing what the Gemara is suggesting. This is now going to be our third answer in the Gemara to how can Rav Meir allow the disqualification of witnesses. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Machlokes. Sorry, let me start from Kiyasa. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he quotes Rabbi Yochanan. Now, for those of you who've been learning Gemara, so you know, I mean extensively, you'll know, Gemara does this very often, where you have two people who are traveling back and forth, shuttling back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. One of them is Rav Dimi, and whenever you have Rav Dimi come up in the Gemara, so not falling far behind him is going to be Ravin. And they're both quoting Rav Yochanan, meaning Rav Yochanan obviously an Amor in Eretz Yisrael, so he also learned the Mishnayos, and he also is bothered by this Mishnah, so he has a Mahalach, he has a way of understanding this Mishnah. So what Rav Dimi is doing is he's coming in from Eretz Yisrael and telling us, the Bavliim, exactly how Rav Yochanan understands the Mishnah. And it goes like this. So the Machlokes is regarding two sets of witnesses. Okay, meaning, here we go. We are now going to discuss a scenario in which I'm going to litigation against somebody else, and not only am I going to bring two witnesses, I'll bring four witnesses. The Gemara refers to that as shtei kitei edim, two sets of witnesses. Okay, it seems like from the Gemara that they are paired up, although that may or may not be critical. But nevertheless, we're now dealing with a scenario where I'm bringing in a total of four witnesses, two pairs of witnesses. Shtei ki te'edim. Rav Meir suffered tzarech levarer. Rav Meir is of the opinion that it needs to be clarified. Rabbanan suffered ain tzarech levarer. So, but and the Chachamim are of the opinion that it does not need to be clarified. Okay. Now, I know at this point in time we don't know what that means as of yet. We haven't explained what that means as of yet. But just to get comfortable with the language of the Gemara, let's just read on a little bit more in the Gemara. But if it's one set of witnesses, so then everyone's in agreement, both the Remeir and the Chachamim, that by you have no right to disqualify that one set of witnesses, because as we've been pointing out time and again, one set of witnesses, I can't disqualify them. They're testifying against me. I'm no Gebedover. Rav Ami and Rav Asi ask a question which really at this point in time doesn't even seem like it's a legitimate question. What if there's only one set of witnesses? What would be the halacha? To which the Gemara says, Ain Shem Elakas Achas, what are you talking about? There's one set of witnesses. We said that if it's one set of witnesses, you can't disqualify them. What if we find the second set of witnesses to be either be related or to be possible? Ma'u would be the Lacha, Amrlem Kvar Hidu, Eidim Rishonim. And the answer is, the first set of witnesses already testified. Ikadam, the Gemara has a slightly different version of how that exchange went. Am Ravashi, Kvar Heidu Eidim Rishonim. Ravashi says that the first set of witnesses already testified. Okay. I know at this juncture, at this point in the Gemara, we don't fully understand the answer of Rav Yochanan, and it really is because right now at this point we don't understand what Tzarech Levarer means. So first, just by way of introduction, let's go over the basic idea of Tzarech Levarer. Tzarech Levarer, that does not come up that often in the Gemara, but Tzarech Levarer, the idea behind Tzarech Levarer is as follows. I have a taina against my friend. We're talking about monetary law. I have a taina against my friend. I feel like he owes me money. I don't feel that way. He owes me money. And not only does he owe me money, but I have evidence, I have support, I've got proof that he in fact owes me money, and I'm going to take him to court. Okay. Now, I'm telling him, and I'm telling the court as well, you know, if I were you right now, I'd be honest, you owe me the money, you should just pay me. We don't have to go through the whole court procedure, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I have the evidence necessary. Why don't you just pay me? And I'll tell you this, if we go to court together, I've got not two, I got four witnesses who are ready to stand up and testify that you owe me the money. Okay? Four witnesses. Now, in halacha, whenever you extract money from somebody else, you don't need four witnesses, you only need two. But still, listen, I'm telling this man over here, please, stop the fighting, stop the bickering, stop being so difficult. I got four witnesses. Okay. Now, we go to court. And let's just say, just for argument's sake, that not only did I tell the other litigant, I told the court also, I'm going to bring four witnesses, two pairs of witnesses. I'm going to bring four. Now that I said it, let's ask ourselves a very simple question. Do I have to bring four? That's exactly the issue of Tzarech Levarer. The issue of Tzarech Levarer is exactly this question. Of when I make a claim, and without first presenting my evidence, in this case evidence being witnesses, I tell them here's what's going to happen, here's what I'm going to bring into court, so do I need to bring in everything that I said, even though everything I said is more than I need? It's a simple issue. It's a simple question. Now, and what the Gemara now is suggesting is, this is exactly the machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chacham, of whether or not you subscribe to this principle of Tzarech Levarer and Tzarech Levarer. So far that was the easy part. Here we get to the heavy lifting of today. Okay, this next part is going to be hard, it's going to be difficult. And I say that, and what I'm really introducing is, of course, Rashi. Rashi is usually not hard. Rashi is usually not difficult. But in this context, in this discussion, it's going to be difficult. Okay, everyone please follow together with me. I'm going to go through Rashi. Machlokes b'shtei ki te'edim. Okay, and Rashi explains as follows. Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara. You see, there's a lot of Rashi coming up, and you'll understand why in just a moment. Rashi writes, "Machlok b'shtei ki te'edim shamar baldin befanenu yeshli shtei ki te'edim adaver." So the baldin says that I have two sets of witnesses. Ze hevi kat rishona, I'm sorry, bedaver ze hevi kat rishona va'amar halove va'acher va'amar psulin he. So I bring in now my first set of witnesses. The other litigant says, "Really, those guys?" Come on, look at those guys. No, you're not bringing in those guys. I know them. They're terrible. They're no good. So the other litigant comes together with somebody else, because remember, like we said last week, he can't do it by himself. He'll come in with somebody else, and they'll disqualify the first set of witnesses. Now Rashi explains, and this is really just explaining the Gemara. At this point in time, I'm not a nogeh b'davar. Why? Sharei amar malvish yesh lo kata cheres. Because the malvish said he's going to bring not two, but four witnesses. V'im bikesh v'lo matza yafsid. And if I don't bring them, I stand to lose. De kasavra meir, sarach baldin, levair, ulahamid al ha'emes, kol dvarav shitoin bebezdin. Because Rav Meir is of the opinion that once I set forth in the courtroom and I said I was going to bring four, I've got to bring four. It's unacceptable for me to bring just two. Once I say I'm going to bring four, I have to bring four. And so now, v'hani mifsili afle adios acheres. And those first two witnesses who were disqualified by the other litigant, they're going to be disqualified permanently. Now, if I bring the second set of witnesses and they come out good, so good. I did exactly what I said. I said I was going to bring in four. I brought in four. I said I was going to bring them. I brought them. Yeah, all four of them were in kosher, but I thought all four of them were kosher, and therefore I thought it was going to be enough. Okay. So, Rashi's explanation for Meir right now is that Rav Meir subscribes to this principle of Tzarech Levara. I went into the courtroom and I said before the case started, I got four witnesses. Now, I gotta bring four witnesses. And if I don't, I'm going to lose the case. Even though I don't need four. I only need two. But I said I was going to bring four. If I don't bring... that's the question. Let me first present and then I'm going to ask your question. Good. So then so I got to bring four, and I brought in four. And if I don't bring in four, if I just bring in two, I lose the case. That's Rav Meir Shita, based on the principle of Tzarech Levara. Now that I brought in all four, very good. And that affords the other litigant, to disqualify my first two. Because even though he disqualified my first two, okay, I got two more coming. I got two more waiting, two more going to come. And so I can create my case with the second pair. I didn't bring four kosher witnesses. To that we'll say, okay, but I did exactly what I said I was going to do. I said I was going to bring four witnesses. I brought four witnesses. They're not all kosher, but I did what I said I was going to do. That is Rav Meir according to Rashi. And what's a chachamim? Chachamim to subscribe to the viewpoint. Ain tzarech levar v'yachol omar. I'm just reading the next Rashi. Ain li od. And I could just simply, after two, say, I'd like to stop right now. I know I said I was going to bring in four, but you know what? I have two. The plaintiff rests. Okay, I'll stop at two. Now it comes out that I could stop after the first two. The other litigant can't disqualify my first two, because I can stop after those first two. And those first two, therefore, are necessary in order for me to have my case. Adkan, that is Rashi's explanation of Rav Meir versus a Chachamim. Okay. The biggest question, which we're going to get to, which is really the whole, it's like the underpinning of this whole discussion, is why? But before we get to the why, that's obviously the biggest question. Why according to Rav Meir, if I say I have to bring four, I have to bring four. But before we get to that point, however, this is Rashi's explanation of the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So again, just quickly to review. We have a basic difficulty in understanding Rav Meir. How can any litigant disqualify the witnesses? So right now, the proposed answer of the Gemara, this is Rav Dimi, quoting Rav Yochanan, is that when I went to the courtroom, I said I was going to bring in four. I brought in my first two. So according to Rav Meir, Sarach Levara, and what does that mean? It means that I'm going to have to bring in my next two as well. So since I'm going to have to bring in my next two, so if they want to, they could disqualify the first two. Meanwhile, according to the Chachamim say, "Ainot tzarech levarer." I don't have to bring in the first two. I don't have to bring in the last two. I could stop after the first two. Therefore, the other litigant has no right to disqualify the first two. Okay. How at this point, how does that pshat? That's Rashi. How does that pshat sit with you?
It's
Meaning, good. Aside from the big question, which we'll get to, why should that be? How does that pshat sit?
Can I bring in four if I know that two of them are no good to start with?
I didn't know, this is what Rashi says, I didn't know that the first two were no good. I thought they were good. Right? Rashi's language is velo duck. I wasn't careful. I didn't vet my witnesses. I thought all four of them were good. And I said I was going to bring in four, and I brought in four.
He doesn't disqualify. He can only submit to the basin, and basin disqualifies.
Well, basin's not going to... The only reason why basin's going to disqualify is because the other litigant is saying they're no good.
He's saying, but don't they have to investigate?
Well, in other words, al pishnei edim. The investigation is two people are testifying. Meaning, remember, it's not the other litigant by himself. It's the other litigant together with somebody else.
He's not alone.
No, he'll be with somebody else. And somebody else will testify. And again, why isn't he nogei b'davar? So what the Gemara is suggesting right now is because, according to Rav Meir, you're going to anyway have to bring in the next two as well. This pshat sits well. I'll tell you what Rashi is about to teach us, or about to say. Rashi doesn't like it. Meaning this pshat that Rashi just said in the Gemara, Rashi doesn't like it. Because what are we saying now? We're saying that if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Tzarech Levarer, for whatever reason, you Tzarech Levarer, Rashi says that you came into the court with the claim that you're going to bring in four, and you bring in four, you are Yotze Zayin. Good. You get a pat on the back. Even though two of them ended up being no good. That's very difficult. If you subscribe to this principle of Tzarech Levarer, again, for reasons which hopefully we'll articulate later on, shortly, if you subscribe to Tzarech Levarer, how can you say, good, I brought in four? Yeah, you brought in four human beings, but when all said and done, how many did you really bring? You brought two. Rashi then goes on to write. Nimsa, I'm moving on to the next Rashi. Nimsa kashnia krovim apsulim ayde edim gemurim. I'll tell you what I'd like to do is I'd like to skip a little bit in this Rashi. Velo nehira. Look at the third line in Rashi. Velo nehira. Rashi says, I know I just offered you the pshat. Rashi says, I do not like this pshat. Chad. The ein zeh bira dvarim l'Rav Meir. Okay, good. The question which I presented. What are we talking about? Bira dvarim. Bira dvarim. I said I was going to bring in four, and then what did I do? I brought in two. Yeah, I know I brought in four people, but two kosher witnesses. Ain't the beer dvarim l'Rav Meir? Hove kadacha nifsalin ve'adaino gebe edusu. In other words, one of the groups is pasul. So really, when all said and done, all I did was just bring in a pair of kosher witnesses. And you're going to say the other litigant is not nogei b'davar? Va'oh, di'inami avibir dvarim b'hachi nogei b'edusu di'im lo yimte kadacher k'shera ela kapsula nimsa mafsil. I'm sorry, Mafsid, Bipsul Shal Rishonim, Di Ilo Nifsul Rishonim, Hayam Motzi Mamon Alpim, Udvarim Nivarim Aide Shnia, Va'afa Pim Shipsulim Va'achshav Hu Mafsid. Okay, the second question of Rashi, I'll tell you what, we'll come back to later on. But Rashi, just simply, let's just focus right now for our purposes, let's focus on Rashi's first question. How can you call that Bira Dvarim if you didn't end up bringing four kosher witnesses? Hilkach Omer Ani Dargesin and Hachi. So Rashi says, after being presented with our Gemara and the Girs of our Gemara, and Rashi, he offers a pshat, but then when all said and done, Rashi says, you know what? I'm going to offer a different pshat in the Gemara, but based on a different Girsa. And in this different Girsa, here's what's going to happen. We're going to switch. And the Girsa now that Rashi presents is, Rameir is going to be of the opinion, Ein Tzarech Levarer. And the Chachamim's position is going to be Tzarech Levarer. And watch. And here it gets much neater. Ha-vehu ikar. And Rashi believes that this is really the correct girsa. Rav Meir Savrein Tzarech Levarer. Rav Meir is of the opinion that you don't need bira. V'zesh amr lahavi shtei kite edim ve'evim v'ahachas nifsalas em bekachlam. Let's say you said you're going to bring in four witnesses. And it turns out that you didn't bring in four witnesses. Or even if you did. But two of them get disqualified. So what? According to Rav Meir, again, this is Rashi's preferred girsa. According to Rav Meir, you don't have to say, do exactly everything you said you're going to do. As long as you bring in the base minimum, and the base minimum is two witnesses, so be it. So good. That's enough. She'ein tzarech levar dvarav. V'dayo bekata achasak sheira. As long as you brought in, as long as you brought in one, that would be good. And again, just Rashi just wants to emphasize that because Rav Meir subscribes to this principle of ein tzarech levarer, and because you don't have to bring in all four, once the other litigant disqualifies two of the four, these witnesses are disqualified. Period. Okay, that sheet is Rav Meir. So now we have Rav Meir on the side of ein tzarech levarer. Now, what's the Chachamim stand on this? The Chachamim say that you must be mevarer. Nimsa zen nogea be'edus. And it turns out now that you are nogea bedavar. V'lo mafsil nimseis kashnia krova. I'm sorry. V'lo mafsil. Period. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, if I said I'm going to bring four, I have to bring four. And not only do I have to bring four, but let's say better, let's say it's stronger. I have to bring four kosher edim. If I don't bring four kosher edim, my case falls away. I don't have a case anymore. Even though I brought two kosher edim, and under normal circumstances, had I not said anything, then two kosher edim by itself would have been fine. But I said I was going to bring four kosher edim. I must bring four kosher edim, and that's why the other litigant cannot disqualify my witnesses, because the disqualification of any one of my witnesses. Two out of my witnesses that are disqualified by the other litigant is going to ruin my case. And once the other litigant is ruining my case, there's no gabadavar. Okay. That's Rashi's girsa of the Gemara, his preferred girsa of the Gemara. So now, just for a moment, let's contrast the Rashi's first approach of the Gemara based on the girsa that we have, meaning the girsa that we're looking at in our Gemara, versus what Rashi believes is to be the correct girsa, his girsa in the Gemara. The difference between the two lies, first of all, lies in the basic issue of whether or not Rav Meir subscribes to Tzarech Levarer or the Chachamim subscribe to Tzarech Levarer. But okay, and obviously it's not unimportant. That's important to know who subscribes to which position. But really, when you think about it, what is the core difference between the first Pshat of Rashi and the second Pshat of Rashi? If you, whoever you may be, subscribe to the principle of Tzarech Levarer, what does that mean? According to the first Pshat, it simply means if I say I'm going to bring in four, I got to bring in four. Do all four have to be kosher? Nah. No, not all four of them have to be kosher. But I got to bring in all four. Masha Enkin, if you subscribe to Rashi's second shot, when I say I bring in four, they have to be four kosher witnesses. And failure to do so will terminate my case. Even though if two of them are still good, doesn't matter. My case will come to an end. Now, after having gone over these two Pshatim and Rashi and the Gemara over here, now let's ask the question. Why? Meaning, the Gemara presents this, introduces us to this topic of Tzarech Levarer. Again, the discussion occurs elsewhere in Shas, but this is not a common discussion in amongst the Gemara, but it's a very basic issue. I go into the courtroom and I tell the judge, the other litigants, here's what I'm going to present. And according to, again, depending on the girsa, Rav Meir, the Chachamim, but whoever subscribes to Tzarech Levarer, let's say it like that, is of the opinion that I have to make good on my promise. And if I don't make good on my promise, my case is lost. And according to the second girsa in Rashi, not only do I make good on my promise, but if I promise four witnesses, I got to bring in four kosher witnesses. And let's ask the simplest question that we can ask on this whole discussion. Why? Right. Even if I said I was going to bring in four, good for me. I obviously felt confident about my case. But we all know in halacha, you only need two witnesses. And if two witnesses are enough, just because I said I was going to bring four, I have to bring in four. And according to Rashi's second girsa in the Gemara, I got to bring in four kosher witnesses, and failure to do so means that I'm going to forfeit the case? That's hard to understand. That's difficult. Why should that be? Okay. I'm going to provide what I think is a consideration, a strong consideration in terms of explaining the Gemara. I haven't seen anyone approach the issue this way. So I say this by way of just, I'm throwing out an idea. And I'll ask you to listen, and you'll tell me if maybe this is, there's something intuitive to this. We know there's a mitzvah in the Torah to operate a court. Okay, that's the mitzvah to set up a beis din. We touched on that just a little bit in the beginning of the third parak. Okay. There's also a mitzvah in the Torah to testify. Meaning, we know that you see something happen, so you have a mitzvah to come forward to the beis din and to testify. There's a mitzvah to testify in the Torah. Okay. And anyone knows what...
You mean the same as a chiyuv?
Yeah. Well, when I say you have a mitzvah, meaning it's a... For our purposes, let's right now just call it an obligation. Let's call it some sort of obligation to testify. Okay. This obligation to testify, how do we know that... Where do we know this from in the Torah? Where do we know that there's some sort of mandate, some sort of obligation to testify in the Torah? Apishai made him Yakum Davar is telling me that we'll substantiate something with the testimony of two witnesses. But how do I know, when I'm talking about the actual witness themselves, how do I know they are bound by some sort of imperative that they have to step forward and they have to testify? How do I know? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
He said it. It's a pasuk. Pasuk in Vayikra, Perikei, pasuk Aleph. The Torah says, "V'nefesh ki secheta v'shama kol alava hu eid o ra'o yadayim lo yagiven asav ano." He knows chumash. Jealous. The Torah says that if a person knows some information and he suppresses that testimony, Torah says, "V'nasav ano." He's got it. That's a sin. Meaning if you have testimony to report and you don't testify, you're a sinner. There's an iser in the Torah to suppress testimony. Which, by virtue of that, we also just invert that and just simply say, now we know there's an iser to suppress testimony, so that must mean that there's an imperative, there's some sort of obligation for me to come and offer testimony.
That's some sort of obligation.
Huh? Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Now, with all that stated, so I'm going to read a little bit from the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Chav Beis talks about this mitzvah to testify. And the Sefer Chinuch writes as follows. I know you don't have a Sefer Chinuch in front of you, but it's very straightforward. It's very simple. And listen to the Sefer Chinuch. He writes, "Lahagid ha'edus b'fnei ha'dayanim b'chol ma she'nada'uhu." The Sefer Chinuch writes in the 122nd mitzvah in the Torah that there's a mitzvah for a person, for a witness, to come forward and to say everything he knows. Ben she is chai be'edus misa, o mamon hamu'ud alav. Whether it's a capital crime, whether it's monetary, o she'iyah tzalaso be'mamon o'benafsho, saving somebody, she'nemar v'hu eid o'ra'o yadayim lo yagivin asav o'no. Bechol inyan chova aleinu lahagid ha'edus lefnei ha'beitin. We have a mitzvah to testify. So the Sefer Chinuch then goes on and writes the following. V'ulam, however, chil g'yesh bein dina mamonos l'dina nefashos v'shari sirin shebetar. Sefer Chinuch says, but I'm going to strike a very simple distinction in terms of the mitzvah to testify between dina mamonos and all other yisurim in the Torah. Shebedina mamonos ein adam chayv l'ha'id aleihem me'atzmo. When it comes to dina mamonos, so there is no built-in internal obligation for a person to come and testify about dinei mamonos. Ela im kein yitbe'enu bal hadavar o beis din. And only if you get subpoenaed, if the bal davar, meaning the litigant, or the beis din, if they send you a subpoena, then at that point going forward, now you have a mitzvah to come forward. However, contrast that to dina nefashos. If a dina nefashos ve'ed ashar yisurim, but when it comes to dina nefashos and the aidus of any other iser, shebetar kagon shirao echad shavar al iser, where you see somebody violating the iser, v'chein be'edus nefashos, or if it's a capital crime, kagon shirao mishahar echaver, you saw murder, o be'edus mako shihika echad echaver, or you saw someone getting beaten. So bechol ze chayev adam lavo me'atzmo. Now you have an internal obligation to go on your own. You have to go now and testify in front of Beis Din. In order to exterminate that which is bad amongst us. Okay. And then the Sefer Chinuch goes on to say Mishar Shem Mitzvah, and at the root really of the mitzvah of Eidos Lafishesh Ben Mitzvah Zu Toelas Gedola Levnei Adam. It's got a Toelas. It's got a great purpose. Ain't Sarach LaHarich Behem. I don't have to go on about this. Writes the Sefer Chinuch. Ki Yidu Im Advarim L'Chol Roei Hashemesh. You see the sun out there. You realize there's a benefit to having a judicial process and people stepping forward and people testifying. So interesting. Sefer Chinuch basically makes a separation, a very clear line in the sand in terms of the mitzvah to testify between money and everything else. When it comes to monetary law, you don't have an internal obligation to testify. When it comes to chavei malkus, dinin nefashos, right? Anything beyond money, you have an internal obligation. You on your own have to go to Beis Din and you have to testify on your own, even without an invitation. And when I say invitation, I don't really mean invitation. I mean a subpoena. Eidus HaChodesh is part of this discussion, but really it's a separate animal. I'm not really sure if it deserves to be in this discussion. I'll give you a simple example. Eidus HaChodesh, you can have relatives testify together about Eidus HaChodesh, although that's up for debate.
But the fact that you can travel on Shabbos.
No, agreed. Eidus HaChodesh, I understand. But we're talking about now coming and testifying about, you know, quote unquote, a wrong. Somebody was wronged. Okay? Part of being the judicial process. With the Sefer HaChinuch in mind, so what do we just see together? What do we just learn together when it comes to testimony about monetary law? When it comes to testimony about monetary law, you don't have an internal obligation to go to the Beis Din. When is there an obligation put upon you? Sefer HaChinuch says, only when you were subpoenaed, only when you were invited, only when the Baal Din comes and says to you, taps you on the shoulder and says, you know what? I need you. At that point in time now, you come and testify.
What about the litigant?
Huh?
I mean
the litigant. The litigant comes and he tells you that I need you. So basically what we see from the Sefer HaChinuch is that if you see a murder, or you see, right, you see some sort of wrong that was done, and you know about it, so you don't need to be invited. You have now an obligation. You have to go on your own. But when it comes to Dine Mamonos, you need to be invited. And what is that telling us? So most probably what that's telling us is that it obviously is telling us Dine Mamonos is different. What makes it different is as follows. When a Baal Din is coming and bringing an Adam in tow, the aid actually belongs to the Baal Din. I know it sounds a little bit funny, but if you think about it, it's really what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying. Meaning, if the aid is not coming as just simply an objective source of information, although of course we'd love the aid to be objective, but the aid is coming really as part of the taina of the Baal Dover. The Baal Dover has a taina, and he says, not only do I have a taina, but I got evidence. What's my evidence? Here, that aid. There, that aid. There, that aid. And he now is bringing his Edim. And according to the Sefer HaChinuch, you understand they are his Edim. I'm striking a balance between their need to be objective, because of course they need to be objective, but on the other hand, they belong to the Baal Din. Without the Baal Din inviting to the Beis Din, they have no need to go to the Beis Din. Let's say they saw the loan, or they saw whatever monetary dispute is taking place. Sefer HaChinuch writes, there's no need for them to go to Beis Din. There's no internally driven obligation. They're only coming because the Baal Dover invited them to come. So now that you see the aid as an extension of the Baal Dover and an extension of his taina, now I think we can begin to understand this whole principle of Tzarich Levara. What's Tzarich Levara? Tzarich Levara means that the Baal Dover, the litigant goes to court and he says, I have the following case against you. I have a taina against you. Taina is you owe me money. And included in the taina is, I have witnesses. On their own, the witnesses don't have to come here. But because I'm inviting them to come, now they have an obligation to join. But their obligation is only because generated by me. Once the obligation is generated by me, Tzarich Levara. I know I only need two witnesses. But I said I was going to bring four. Four becomes part and parcel of the taina. Four now is what my argument is. You owe me money. Not only do you owe me money, but I got four witnesses. Ah, Tzarich Levara. Right? Now you understand that there's that need, there's that requirement of bearer. Because they're only coming because I need them for my taina.
That's precisely the point. Because they are leaning for one side, one litigant.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, Barry, it's not that they... We need to make sure that they're telling the truth.
No, but I understand that. But that's but that's not what Tzarich Levar means in this context. In this context, it just simply means...
Why are you saying that? Why can't you say the other?
Because I'm reading Rashi.
What?
Because I'm reading Rashi. That's how Rashi's explaining it. My starting point is just to understand the Gemara through Rashi. Then after having gone through Rashi, then explaining, why is there a need? Good, you want to see a different pshat in the Gemara, that's fine. But I'm right now working within Rashi. And within Rashi, Tzarich Levar means... I said I'm going to bring in four witnesses. I have to bring in four witnesses. My question is, why? Why do I have to bring in four witnesses? So I'm proposing an answer. And the suggestion is, I need to bring in four witnesses because unlike other Eidos where the Chiyuv is generated by an internal obligation, I have an internal obligation on my own. I saw a murder. I got to run to court. I have to testify. No one has to invite me. I myself have to go to court and testify. Fine. How many witnesses are there? Two, four, eight, whatever. Meaning I have to go. Masha'inkim, when it comes to Dinei Mamonos, the Sefer Chinuch says that when it comes to Dinei Mamonos, I don't have an internal obligation to go. There's no demand on my own to go. It's only because the Baal Dover invited me to come. So I'm really coming as an extension of the Baal Dover. I'm part of his Taina. Now that I'm part of his Taina, so now, you the Baal Dover, what did you say? He owes you money? And you're going to have four witnesses? That's all part of your Taina? That's all part of your Taina? You got to bring in all four. And if you don't bring in all four... You don't have a Taina.
Why did the Baal Dover say I'm bringing four? He only needs two.
Well, okay, good. Why he said that is because he legitimately felt he had four.
Don't you think about
why did he say? I'm sorry. I apologize for cutting you off. Why did he say you owe me $200?
Because I owe
me. Okay, good. And it's part of my Taina. My Taina is you owe me $200, and I have four witnesses.
I gave you $200,000 for
good.
Four people.
So why not say, according to Rashi?
Yeah.
Even when
that's
to
show
that, the Baal Din, the time, said I got four witnesses.
Right.
But it turns out the two of them were no good. What for whatever reason?
Good.
But according to Torah, all I need is two.
Good.
So according to Torah,
good.
According to Rashi, good. It should mean good. That he would still be able to.
Good, but then Rashi explaining the Gemara, meaning you understand everything comes back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that according to the Chacham, let's go with Rashi's preferred girsa. According to the Gemara, if I fail to bring in all four, I lose my case. That's what the Gemara says. That's your starting point for the discussion. The case is no longer good. That's why, according to the Chachamim, the other litigant can't touch any of my witnesses. I need all of them. Because if I don't bring one of them, I don't bring two of them, the case is no good. That's the Gemara. Now Rashi says, why? Because it's Tzarich Levar. Now we're asking the question, what? Now we're asking the question, why? So I'm proposing an answer. I'm saying that when it comes to, I quote the Sefer Chinuch, that when it comes to Dine Mamonos, the Eidos, the mitzvah of Eidos of Dine Mamonos, is not an internal obligation. It's simply because the Baal Din tapped you on the shoulder and said,
yeah, part of his
Taina. Correct. Then it would have been better, but that wasn't his Taina. His Taina was, you owe me $200 and I have four witnesses. That was his Taina. Very good. Yes. So, and that becomes now the difference between the first Girsa and Rashi and the second Girsa and Rashi. In the first Girsa of Rashi, that's Rashi saying, you know what? He said he was going to bring in four. He did have four and he doesn't need to vet them. That first Girsa in Rashi is a little bit difficult to understand. Rashi himself is very troubled by it. Meaning he quotes it, but he's very troubled by it. The second Girsa of Rashi, the one he himself prefers, is that you need to come in with four kasher edim. Meaning as much as your taina is, he owes me $200. And you're not budging from that number. Meaning that's your taina. Your taina included in that is, and I have four kasher witnesses. So just like I'm not budging from the amount I'm claiming, I can't budge from the four witnesses that I also said I was going to bring. And why I have to bring all four? So good. So now we're saying a pshat within Rashi.
Any part of testimony that is refuted is no good.
Right. Good. Very good. Okay. Good. Stop over here. So we saw just a quick chazara. So the Gemara now offered a third explanation of Rav Meir in terms of why Rav Meir would allow the other litigant to disqualify the witnesses. the Rameir, again, let's go with Rashi's preferred girsa, just to review and to walk away with a point. According to Rashi's preferred girsa, Rameir is of the opinion of Ein Tzarech Levarer, which means then that even though you said you're going to bring in four, you don't have to bring in four, but rather according to Rameir, if you brought two, that would be enough. Meanwhile, the Chachamim hold Tzarech Levarer. And that means, according to Rashi's preferred girsa, you said you're going to bring in four, you have to bring in four. And failure to do so means that you're going to forfeit the case. We asked the question, why? And so, by quoting the Sefer Chinuch, so we offered a pshat in the Gemara in terms of, because as opposed to Eidus in general, Kol HaTorah Kula, where there's an obligation on the Eid himself, Masha Enkin, when it comes to Mamanos, there's no obligation on the Eid himself to come. He's coming merely as a function of the Taina, and because he's coming as a function of the Taina, and the Taina said that I was going to bring in four witnesses, he has to bring in four witnesses. And that could help us understand this whole idea of Tzarech Levarer.